Amen. Wow, that was, thanks for that introduction. Yeah, so you forgot your coffee. Luke?
I did that.
Yeah, I know. So I don't want to drink that. You defiled it with something other than coffee. So I don't want that in there. Yeah, so thanks for coming out today. Man, what a privilege. We've just been here for a couple days. My wife Sandy and I, who, like Luke said, I'll introduce in a little bit. And man, you guys live in an absolutely gorgeous place. You know that, right? That you live like in one of the most beautiful places on earth. I just want to make sure you're not taking that for granted. I know this because I actually do live in the most beautiful places on earth. So the place on earth. And so when I'm in other places, you know, I recognize that. So yeah, like Luke said, we had a blast yesterday. We went out fishing up a ways, someplace. I was able to, where were we fishing? Upper Sacramento, anyway. It was fun. I was able to show him a few things, coach him a little bit, give him a few pointers. I think he'll do okay over time. I think he'll get the hang of it, and he just needs more time, really. He needs more practice, more time, and he actually could get the hang of this thing. Yeah, thanks for having us. We're actually going to be out here all week, so we're really looking forward to getting to know the area a little bit more, maybe getting to see some of you folks a little bit more. We are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this week. Yes. So I've already forgotten we have kids. Luke mentioned that a while ago. I was like, oh, that's right. I knew there was something different. We're having a blast out here, and so we just thank you for how welcoming you've been. So this morning, Luke asked me to talk a little bit about our experience in the vineyard and some key things about vineyard identity and who we are in the vineyard movement. And first, we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of the kingdom of God. Now, if you've been around here at all, any period of time, heard Luke talk, I'm sure you've heard this phrase, the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we mean by that, and then how in the vineyard movement, we see the kingdom of God work itself out in really practical ways. So it's not just something that we talk about that, you know, all like the smart people get in the room and, oh, what is the kingdom of God? But we actually believe that this kingdom of God thing works itself out on the ground in all of our lives in really practical ways. This morning, we're just going to focus on two things. How the kingdom affects our worship and how kingdom affects the idea of compassion and justice. The Anaheim Vineyard, which is kind of where this whole thing started off, they have two banners hanging on the side of their auditorium. One of them says worship, and one of them says compassion. And those two things together, the worship of God and compassion for our fellow human persons that we run into every day, that in our neighborhoods, in our work, in our family, those things are, how we do those things are really based on this idea of a picture of the kingdom. So it's really important to understand the kingdom first we get into there. And so what we're going to talk about is how the vineyard distinctive idea of the kingdom of God affects those two things, worship and compassion. Make sense so far? And I know I'm going to trip over this thing, so I'm just going to just move right there, stay. Before I get into that, I just want to say a little bit about this idea of distinctives, because sometimes when we hear distinctives, we kind of get the idea that, well, that's just sort of like a fancy name for better than. Or they mean that, but this is a vineyard distinctive, they mean that other churches have it wrong, or other churches aren't good enough, and it, like we suddenly have like the absolutely pure picture of the gospel, and these other churches are mistaken. And just to clear that up a little bit, picture I like is what John Wimber, who was one of the founders of the Vineyard Movement, used to put it this way. The vineyard, you, us, Duluth, all of us, we are just one vegetable in God's stew. Okay? Obviously, look around you, right? God likes really tasty stew. Now, we contribute our own taste, our own smell, our texture to the whole thing, but so do all kinds of other churches, right? And so when we talk about distinctives, it's not because we think that, well, all those other churches, in order to get the kingdom of God right, they just need to be like us. It's not at all what we mean. A bowl of carrots is not a stew, right? It's a bowl of carrots, right? So we don't want everyone to be just like us. At the same time, if the carrots are missing from the stew, something's missing. Something's not off. And so all these different church expressions, all these different denominations, all these different ways of thinking of these things, they all contribute. They're all the spices and meat and veggies and the stew. They all contribute to the overall thing, to God's fullness and God's riches. So no one group, no one church has got it down and the rest of them don't. Okay, I just want to make sure that's so that. But what we mean by distinctive is, okay, what makes us us, right? What makes us as a carrot give us our unique flavor, our unique taste, our unique texture to the whole thing? So clear that all the way. Don't need to do with that. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. Wow, your worship, it's such a privilege to worship you, God. And we send, thank you. And we just sense your presence among us. And we ask that you would just open our hearts and continue to just be here and teach us and be with us today. We just thank you for this privilege. In your name, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, huh? So if you have a Bible with you, or if you have, you know, the app on your phone, some of you younger guys might be shocked to find out that the Bible actually comes in a print version. I know it's hard to believe, but if you have a Bible Gateway app or something like that, you can open it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Verse 14 starts with this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So what is this kingdom of God that he's talking about? In this day and age for us, most of us, the idea of a kingdom is kind of out of date. It's kind of hard for us to think about a king and a kingdom, because that's much of us, that's, you know, something that was back in history, and we don't really have much experience of that now. But it's actually a pretty simple question. The kingdom of God is simply this: the rule of God, where God gets his way. Another way of thinking about it is, if Jesus ran the place, what would it look like? The kingdom of God we can see another example of this in the Lord's Prayer. Anybody have grandma have, you know, the Lord's Prayer plaque up in the kitchen wall, right? You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? Well, you know it so well, it's almost like boring to us. It's almost like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's this really interesting piece in this that we all know. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Vineyard, we call that the kingdom prayer, because that very clearly illustrates a couple things. First of all, that in heaven, quite obviously, God gets his way. God's rule is perfectly shown in the realm, in the place, in heaven. Easy concept. However, look around you. God's rule isn't all that perfectly established here on earth, right? It doesn't take too long for me to look around my interactions with my kids, or my interactions with my coworkers, or how things are going in the world today, that there's a difference between what's going on in heaven and what's going on in earth. But this kingdom prayer, our prayer is that, God, what we are looking for in the Vineyard, we want to see more and more and more and more that your way, that your rule expands from heaven down to earth. But there's interesting here. There's some interesting facts here. We look around and we go, okay, well, we see that. You guys have seen that in your community, the kingdom of God expanding here. You've seen people come here that maybe have had a distant relationship with God, or maybe were turned off by church in the past, and now they're coming back in and they're saying, I want another shot at this thing. I want another shot at this thing. Maybe some of you have been around the Vineyard for a while, have seen people being healed. when you've been physically or otherwise, when you prayed for them, you say, okay, the Holy Spirit, God seems to be here. We all experienced that this morning in worship, didn't we? And the intimacy and feeling that God's presence here, the kingdom of God is invading earth, but yet, some of us are in a place where, you know, the diagnosis from the doctor isn't what we wanted. Some of us are in the place where our children or our grandchildren maybe are living in a way that we know is destructive, we know is hurtful, we know that maybe isn't the way that they should be living. We have friends that are going through maybe a difficult trials in their marriages. And so all over, and yeah, Lord knows, you watch the news, right? And that reality of the kingdom that isn't here yet, even yesterday's news with the bombings in New York and all these crazy things happening, clearly God's rule is not perfectly established on earth yet, right? So this is the key thing you have to understand in the vineyard is that tension between where God gets his way perfectly and God hasn't gotten his way perfectly yet. We talk about the already, but the not yet of the kingdom of God. We can taste, see, feel the presence of God's kingdom here among us. At the same time, we also really feel that not yet part, the part that God's rule hasn't completely come here. There's a couple different ways that we can deal with that. Some churches and some people take the one thing is just that, you know what, that whole thing about the kingdom coming down and all that stuff doesn't really happen so much. Now we know what will happen at the end, but right here and now, the best really you can hope for is that just kind of holding on, just kind of making it through, just kind of holding tight, hunkering down, trying to keep you and yours safe and protected, and just hope that someday, knowing that, you know, God is going to make things all right, but we really can't expect for that much to change now. Does anybody know that one? That's a church that I grew up in that we really had that thing. We didn't have much of this idea of this ministry, the compassion side of things. So you're just like, you know, life is just tough and tougher and getting tougher every day. The other side of that can be, sometimes we can slide to this idea of, well, we're always living in the middle of a miracle. We're always on the cusp of the great new thing that God is doing, this great new miracle, and the kingdom is around us and moving and everything is going great. Dogs and cats playing together, Vikings and Packers fans. Maybe not that. I might be asking a little too much. But together, and so that side of it is the kingdom is all here. And the problem if we end up over here is simply that that isn't where most of us live. That isn't where I live. The place where I live is a mixture of all this stuff. I see the kingdom breaking in, and I see these pieces of things that just aren't the way that they should be. So that tension of the kingdom that is here in some way, but not yet fully. We know that it's going to be fully consummated. Guess what? If you've read to the end of the story, if you've read God's book, did anybody know that God has a book out? God has a book out. If you read to the end of the story, you find out this. We win, right? God wins. At some point in the future, that whole, all those blessings, all those promises of the kingdom of God are going to become real. But we're not there yet, okay? And this is hard. Believe me, this is really difficult. Not just dealing with Packers fans, but the reality of things is really difficult. My wife and I have a son who's 16 years old who was born with a genetic condition similar to muscular dystrophy that really impairs his ability to walk. We have prayed for healing for him, I mean, just honestly, thousands of times. Every time he falls down, every time he has difficulty getting up the stairs, every time he needs help climbing out of even a chair or a seat, like, Lord, hear my son. Lord, hear my son. Lord, hear my son. And we believe that from things that is going to happen somehow in the future. And so we keep, amen, thank you. So we keep praying for that. In the same time, we've prayed for hundreds of people over the past 10 years and other things, and we've seen marriages restored, we've seen healings of various kinds, we've seen people come closer to God, we see the kingdom breaking in all around us, But we're in the middle of this tension, right? That's a hard place to live. But it's reality. It's reality for most of us. It's where most of us live. And so that already, not yet kingdom, living in that tension, that's who we are as the Vineyard Movement. And it's difficult because the temptation is to try to go to one way or another, to either give up or just claim things that aren't there. But we're committed as a movement to live in the middle of that tension of the kingdom of God and trust that God is in control and that even in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, that He is with us, His presence is available to us. And so that peace, yeah, thank you, amen, right? So that peace of the kingdom of God undergirds everything we do in praxis. How we do evangelism, how we do missions, how we do prayer ministry time. You guys are going to be doing prayer ministry time, I understand, here in the top. How everything we do is based on that foundation of the kingdom of God. Because we believe that it has practical, real consequences day and age. Today, and there's like all kinds of things we could talk about, right? But what I said earlier is I'm going to focus on just two things. Worship, primarily the kind of worship that I'm talking about is this stuff, what we just have here, right? And then compassion, those two things, worship and compassion. So how does this kingdom of God interact with compassion, this mystery? Well, actually, I'm going to do worship first. How does it impact how we do worship? Glad you asked. So Luke comes up here every week, does the, you know, how long do you preach for? You know, hour and a half, whatever it is. 2 hours someday when he really gets rolling, right? We tend to sometimes see the church service as being, okay, the big thing, the thing that we're all coming for here, the thing that's the most important bit is this. Is the talk. Is the talking dude or talking dudette, whoever it might be. And the rest of it is just sort of the prelude. Warms us up for the sermon. The worship and the thing. The Vineyard worship service, the way we phrase it in our church and a lot of Vineyard churches is that it's all part of the worship. So the singing that we had this morning, which by the way, worship team members, that was like, thank you so much. I was so blessed by that. That was like fantastic. That was... You guys are really blessed in a lot of ways, and that's one of them. That was absolutely wonderful. But the worship, just ministry, singing time, isn't just the warm-up to Luke's sermon or warm-up to whoever's talking up here. It's just as important as the sermon thing. And then we have the sermon, and then at the end, we do prayer ministry time or more ministry. It's all part of the package. So we don't want to devalue that worship as being something, well, it's just kind of the prelude to the really good stuff, right? But the kingdom is here present among us when we worship, right? Now we sang all kinds of different songs here this morning. And one of the things that you might notice that's getting back to this distinctive things is many of the songs that we sing in the Vineyard have you in them. Singing to God. God, you are so good. God, you are so good. Or, you know, your mercy did this and this. Rather than singing about God. Do you see that difference? Because there's some songs that we sing, or maybe the church I grew up, all we did was sing about God. Yeah, God is so powerful. God is holy. God is wonderful. And it was very easy to sing that and not feel like I was making much of a personal connection to God. But something happens when we sing those songs to God. There's something intimate. It's as if, in a sense, I'm talking to my wife or I'm talking to a very close friend, intimate. It's that when we're singing to God, there's something intimate that really changes in that. One of those main values, distinctives of Vineyard worship is that goal of intimacy. That the goal of that worship that we do is to bring the blessings of the kingdom of God that are out there personal down to us. You know, as good as Luke's sermons, and I listen to them online, so I know they're good. As good as Luke's sermons are, as good as this might be, or good as anybody else you hear, I really doubt that, like, tomorrow morning when you're driving to work or you're in the shower You're going to be humming to yourself or repeating any words from this sermon. Just don't happen. On the other hand, I bet most of us will probably have the words to the worship music repeating in our heads, right? And that's what's so interesting. There's a stickiness to worship. And I find myself afterwards, like we had great worship in the morning, later on in the day, just the refrains coming through my brain, through my head, and repeating that. And there's something sticky about worship. And then again, very often, I'm driving to work in the morning, I have even the radio's off, I'm not even listening to anything, but just the songs that I heard this weekend are coming into me, and once again, they're drawing me into that intimacy with God. Is this just me, or has anyone else had that experience, right? Yeah. And so there's a stickiness to the worship that sticks with us after the experience itself and can bring us into that intimacy with God. Stuck in the middle of traffic. Do you have traffic here in Red Bluff? I have a hard time believing that because you guys are blessed that way. I don't really have traffic anyway. I don't even have a stoplight on my way to work. So there are stop signs, but I don't even have a stoplight on my way to work. So that's kind of where I live too. But even if the radio's off, that worship and that ministry coming through to me are just like, once again, I'm drawn into that place of intimacy with God. It also brings something else. We come into it with expectancy. Because we're not just showing up here, all right, let's get the worship thing over so we can hear some good words, get some instruction, so we can, make it home before kickoff, right? But we expect that the kingdom is going to break through. Okay, maybe some of us are. Can you wrap this up? Because kickoff is in 15 minutes. But our expectancy is that the kingdom of God is going to break through. The kingdom of God, that God's presence is going to be here. That's not just something that is out there someplace, but God's very real presence is going to be here with us. And so we come with expectancy, and what we expect is that God, the Holy Spirit, will come and meet us in a place of intimacy and bring us right into the throne room. John Wimber used to say about Vineyard Worship that up here, these guys are doing this thing. Their job is to lead us to the throne and then get out of the way. These guys did that brilliantly, at least for me this morning, did that brilliantly this morning. Let the presence of God came, led me right to the throne of God. And that goal of intimacy means that with that kingdom, we feel the full range of human emotions. And so some of us this morning are really feeling that already side of the kingdom, right? Folks that we're talking to, or maybe somebody at work, coworker at work is talking to us about church, or maybe they're coming closer and closer to Jesus, or we're seeing God move in our families, we're seeing maybe somebody being healed around us, and we're really in touch with that already piece of the kingdom of God as we worship. But you also notice this morning, some of the songs that we did had acknowledged that not yet thing, that things aren't always as they should be here. And so our worship reflects that piece of the kingdom of God too, that Lord, we know you're God, we know you're good, we know you're in control, and we love and adore you, but at the same time, this thing that's going on in my life right now is just so heavy, and I'm just feeling the reality of the not yet of the kingdom of God. Our worship, Vineyard Worship, expresses both of those realities, because that's reality. That's where we live. We all live in that place. The already and the not yet. You're surrounded right now with people. If this isn't you, you're surrounded by people right now that are living that reality, that are living that dynamic tension. And so we sing to God, not about God. Another thing we do, the Vineyard value in this, is it's participatory. I saw this morning, people clapping, hands raised, physical, and all of us, it's not just for these guys up here to perform and the rest of us to, grade, evaluate, guitar players going, well, he did okay, I'll give him a 5. I could have done it better, If you're a guitar player, you know what I'm talking about. But we're all joining in this thing together. Everyone gets to play is a key vineyard value that comes in the kingdom. Notice that Luke and Don, as blessed as you guys are to have Luke and Don here, they're not going to be able to do all this stuff on their own. Everybody gets to play in the vineyard means that all of you, guess what? All of you are commissioned to do the works of the kingdom of God. In worship, all of us get to participate in this thing. It's not just the people up here with us observing and say, okay, you know. All of us get to be invited into the presence of God and participate in this thing. Everybody gets to play. So compassion, worship, compassion. Like I said, the Anaheim Vineyard Compassion Banner, for many, many years, I think it might still be the case, the Anaheim Vineyard had the largest food shelf in Orange County. Think about that, right? They give every year, they give away tens and hundreds of thousands of pounds of food to their community. And from the very early beginnings of the vineyard, this idea of caring for the poor and bringing the justice of the kingdom and the mercy of the kingdom to the less fortunate has been a key part of how we see the kingdom of God moving in and transforming communities. The compassion of God is throughout the scriptures, right? If we had time, we could go through, we'd do a word search in the Old Testament, we could see verse after verse after verse after verse of God saying, all I ask is that you care for the poor, you give the orphan and the widow justice, that you care for the poor, the less fortunate among you. Again and again and again, people who have counted these things have said that there's over 2,000 verses like that in the Old Testament alone about God calling us to a ministry of compassion. So this is a key part of our DNA. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here a little bit. This is in a moment, you can start coming up, honey. This is a key part of our vineyard identity, of this idea of compassion, of how the kingdom of God affects what we do in compassion. And so what Luke asked us to do this, and so what she's going to do is tell her a little bit about how these values, kingdom values, maybe I should move out of the way. Yeah, that's all right. Of kingdom values of worship and or compassion and justice have played out in her life, in her ministry here. So take it away.
I'm Sandy. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us here. Just a little bit about myself. I have a social work background and worked for many years in mental health and adoption, and then I've been able to stay home with our kids for a long time, so it's been really fun for me. But one thing that was really difficult for me in being a part of the kingdom and getting to play in the kingdom is this whole thing about poverty and working with the poor. And I grew up in poverty, and I made a vow to myself, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had made a vow to myself that I didn't want to go there again. I don't want to be around the poor, I don't want to deal with the poor, I don't want to look at those issues, because I lived it in a single parent home and it was really difficult. And so I just kind of put that part of that on the back shelf in my life and struggled with that a little bit, because God commands us to take care of the poor and the widow and the orphan and all those issues, and the sick. And then dealing with our son, too, is another thing. It's hard to see that on a regular basis. But a few years ago, we went to a national vineyard conference. The awesome part about being a part of the vineyard is we are a global movement of churches. We have churches all over the world, and it's really fun. It's not just your little community church here in Red Bluff or our little church in Duluth, Minnesota. We have a global movement of churches, and Doug and I have been really blessed to get to know a lot of people in those churches. And we were at a national conference a few years ago down in Texas, and they had a workshop on human trafficking, sex trafficking, that I went to. And with my social work background and my heart for justice, I was really intrigued by this workshop. But I sat in this workshop and I bawled through the entire thing, because this was 8 years ago at least. People were not talking about human trafficking at the time. They were talking about sex trafficking. It was something that happened overseas. It's not something you see in your own community. But the reality is, it's in all of our backyards. It's everywhere. One of my very close friends in Duluth was trafficked by her living boyfriend. And so this issue is really near and dear to my heart. So sitting in this workshop, I cried through the whole thing. But I also left the workshop feeling really overwhelmed, because it's such a huge issue. Estimates now are over 28 million people are enslaved today worldwide, still in human trafficking and in slave labor. And I have personal friends who adopted children from other countries where their child was a slave laborer in their country before they were adopted and given a fresh start. So it's happening everywhere, but it's really big. And so I felt like, I'm one little person, I'm a stay-at-home mom with my kids, how can I affect this issue? And so, part of our local church, we have a ministry there called Love Justice, and we working in our community, trying to touch on sex trafficking, human trafficking issues in our community. We're an international port, so you can imagine, we have huge freighter ships that come in from all over the world and leave on a regular basis, and sometimes women are being trafficked out on those ships, and so it's happening in our backyard too. And our Love Justice group decided one year that we were gonna do, a couple years in a row we did this, a human trafficking awareness event in our community. January, for those of you who don't know, is National Human Trafficking Awareness Month everywhere. So we did this awareness event in our community to help raise awareness about what's happening in our own backyard and what's going on. And somebody from another Vineyard church in the Twin Cities came up to me, invited local agencies and vendors to come in and share at our event. And one of my friends came up from the Twin Cities with her Trays of Hope products. And Trays of Hope I'd never heard of before. I was like, what is this? And the tagline of Trays of Hope is empowering women out of poverty. Well, you know, my heart for poverty was not very big at the time, because I was like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to deal with poor and deal with all this stuff. I lived it. But I was so intrigued by what this company is doing for women in poverty. I was like, I had to know more. And I talked to her for a while. I researched the whole company, and then like 2 days later, I joined and said, I need to be a part of this movement of women who are changing lives all over the world. We work with artisan groups from 15 different countries. We sell the products that they make. It's jewelry, home decor, stationery products, scarves. They're really beautiful products, and these women are amazing female artisans in these countries that make these beautiful products, but they don't have a market for them because their countries are so impoverished. But we have this huge market in the United States, and so I have an amazing job here that I love. I call it a purposeful job because these women make beautiful products. I sell them here, so I earn income for the products I sell. But then in turn, every time I sell a product, it's another order for this woman in Uganda or Nepal or Cambodia, so she can take care of her family and she can provide for her family or send her children to school and make a difference for their lives. Because women are so powerful and so amazing. They want to work. They want dignity. People in poverty don't want to sit and wait for handouts. And the charity that we've been doing in our country sometimes does more harm in those countries than it does good, because we're not helping them take care of their own issues and their own problems. And they, guess what? They know what those are. So at another Vineyard conference that I was into with the Justice Network, the Vineyard has a Justice Network of people, one of the things they said that really stuck out to me was this phrase, and it was relating to people in poverty, that this group had said, anything done for us without us is against us. And I thought, that makes so much sense, because somebody in Uganda knows what the issues are in their local community, in their government, in their schools, in their medical system. I don't, from northern Minnesota, but what if we empower them? And to empower means to give someone the ability to do something for themselves. So now they have an opportunity to take care of these issues for themselves. So mothers are not surrendering their children to orphanages now because they can't feed them, because they love them, they want to care for their children. Now they can provide food for their children on their own. Now they can build medical clinics in their community. We're seeing this over and over and over in schools in their local area. And I love what I get to be a part of, because it's a bigger movement too, it's not just me. So where I wouldn't have money to donate to something in a big way to help, we all together, we're better together, so we can make a bigger difference together. So it's so neat to see the kingdom of God acted out in that way, because it's providing opportunity for people worldwide where there wasn't opportunity before. And we're growing and growing and growing. Right now we're in 15 countries, and our goal is to keep growing. I mean, we call it our BHAG, and maybe you've heard of that term, a BHAG. It's your big, hairy, audacious goal. So our big, hairy, audacious goal is to eradicate poverty. We want to eradicate poverty by empowering women. So it's really awesome. And Wednesday, I will be at the Enjoy store. If You guys can come out. I'll have a bunch of my products there, and I'll be able to share specific artisan stories. I don't have enough time for that today, but you can learn more there. And I'll be in the back if you have questions for me, too. It'll be fun.
Thank you. So, yeah. Yeah, she's amazing, isn't she? I might be biased on that. But so worship and compassion, the kingdom of God, I see that already just from briefly a few moments that I've been with you guys this weekend, that these values are beginning or and have been are really beginning to work themselves out in your community. So I'm going to close a little in just a little bit, but just a couple questions. Just like, what would that look like here? Just like Sandy said, everything has to be contextualized. What we do in Duluth in Compassion Ministries might not fly here. Your people just might not care. But what would that look like for you to bring the kingdom of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, in compassion in your neighborhood, in your family, in Red Bluff, and these areas? That's probably not a question that I can answer for you. But what is the God speaking to you today? Maybe some of you have hearing this for the first time, this whole Kingdom of God thing, being here or not being here, this mystery, this tension. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time. But what would it look like to see more and more and more of God's kingdom operate here in your family, in your church, in your community? What would it look like what does it look like in the Red Bluff Vineyard to see the compassion of God and the worship of God come together and change your community, transform your community? See, I totally believe that that's why I'm in the vineyard. If it wasn't for this practical reality of being able to see God move and God change and God, the Holy Spirit come and equip people and change people and transform people more and more into the image of Christ, frankly, I'd rather sleep in Sunday mornings, right? But we have this amazing inheritance of the vineyard of seeing that thing, expressing and participating in the kingdom of God. What would that look like for you in your family, in your community? In a few minutes, we're going to move in. There's going to be opportunity for prayer ministry time right afterwards. And so I just want a couple things that I think maybe God is speaking to us that I just kind of want to throw out there today. Maybe some of you hearing this whole already not yet thing of the kingdom of God is tough. That maybe that's a completely new thing to you, or maybe that, you know, you really believe that, you know, maybe you're living in one of those sides. Or maybe you don't have any idea what that already thing is. You know what? I don't know that I've ever experienced the Holy Spirit move powerfully in my life. I think I want to see that, but I've never really experienced it myself. If that's you, if that's what you think the Holy Spirit is speaking, if God is speaking to you, our invitation would be that when we move into ministry time tonight or this afternoon, whatever it is, come forward and get prayer for that. Or maybe some of you are really, really feeling that not yet side of things. That there's stuff going on in your life that is just almost crushing right now. Relationships or health or other things. And so what you're feeling right now is really that maybe even a hopelessness or maybe even a lack of trust in God. Same invitation. If that's you, if that's where you're at today, come get prayer for that. This is part of our belief and our legacy and our heritage in the vineyard, that God moves among us and he wants to heal that stuff and he wants to be present in the middle of all of life's experiences, the really great things and the really not so great things. And maybe this whole idea of intimacy, we talked about the goal of our worship. What we do here, the goal of our worship is intimacy, is drawing near to God. Maybe some of us, that can be a really scary concept. And we're much more comfortable with a God who is out there who maybe doesn't know our stuff, or a God who isn't so involved in our life. We're much more comfortable with that. But that idea of God coming close and knowing us and being a part of our life and drawing close to Him, maybe that's a little scary. If that's you, or maybe you're just like, yeah, I think I want that. I don't. So that's what that is. You know, I've been coming here for weeks, and I've been hearing this, feeling this worship, and I know something is different. Something is going on here that I can't quite place. That's what it is. It's that intimacy. It's that presence of God. I want more and more of that. More and more of that in my life. It's that either one of you are in either one of those two places, come forward and get some prayer. And as always, again, part of our heritage, always interested in praying for physical healing, praying for any kind of other kind of issue that you have. My invitation would be to come forward, get prayer at the end of this thing. And when Luke invites the prayer ministry team to come forward, I'm just going to pray and then turn it over to Luke. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. We just thank you for this, just this amazing, crazy, sometimes frustrating privilege of getting to play in your kingdom, of being able to do your stuff, do the stuff, and see you move. And Father, I pray for this community of Red Bluff Vineyard Church and for the city of Red Bluff in this area, that your presence, that your kingdom would just break through in an even more way, bigger way than it has before, Lord, that you would come with your power, that you would come with your blessings, bring your healing to this community, Lord. And we just pray for everyone here today that you would just give them a glimpse, a vision of what it might look like to bring these values of worship and compassion to reality in their life and their ministry and community. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.